Well, good morning. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord on spring break weekend here this morning? Good to see you. If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12 and just be patient there. We're going to continue this morning in our series, 10-Year Challenge. But first, look, I hope you really are excited and encouraged to see the work begin. You know, the Bible says, though the vision tarries, wait for it, so for it will surely come to pass. And this has been about a 2-year process of praying and believing and uniting together to support this through prayer and through financial generosity. And let me just encourage you, what you see right here is just the beginning. Every room, and really every square inch of our facility inside and out is going to be brought to a new level of excellence by the time this is said and done in the next 4 or 5 months. And I personally am just so encouraged and excited. You know, I feel like I have a perspective of just because of the role that I'm privileged and blessed and humbled and honored to serve towards our church as pastor, of just really an appreciation for preparing an atmosphere for our family to gather in that is excellent. And I've said this before the last few weeks or a couple times in the last few months that, you know, what God's doing in this season is not better than what he's done before. It's just what he's doing now. It's just what's new. It's what's next. And that we are so blessed and so privileged to have this facility. And the only reason that we have the opportunity to renovate this facility is because of the faith of a previous generation to seek the Lord and to unite together and to build it. And so it's a privilege, it's an honor. And I want to thank you guys for your patience. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for just having excitement towards something. You know what? What Pastor Eddie said was true, the company that's doing the work is just doing a really excellent job, and we're just commenting on how amazing it is that they're even giving attention to just clean up after themselves. We were prepared, here's what I'm saying, we were prepared for it to feel even more inconvenient to us as a staff than it has been, and I know we're just getting started. There'll be some weeks where we're out of our offices, there'll be some weeks where we have to move the children's ministry classes around and kind of get creative for how to do church for a few weeks as those rooms are being renovated. But how do you know that we can, a lot of times we can look at something and our perspective makes all the difference in the world. We can look at something as inconvenient or we can look at something as progress. And I shared it last week, you know, it's so amazing to me how the two words construction and constriction have such different definitions, but they're just one letter apart. And I just think it's powerful when you think about the difference between construction and constriction, that the only difference is whether or not there's an I or a you. And when there's an I and it's about us, it feels constrictive. But when there's a you and we realize it's about God and it's for him, and it's about the precious people all throughout our city and region that God's entrusting for us to reach, it feels like construction, it feels like progress, it feels like forward motion. Amen. That's a good revelation, huh? Come on, in every area of our life, when God's doing something in our life, come on, we're better served to remind ourselves sometimes things that feel inconvenient. God calling us to change. God calling us and kind of stretching us out of our comfort zone and out of our boundaries that we previously had. Sometimes it can stretch us, but if we'll keep our focus on Jesus and on the people, on the heart behind why he's doing something, we can embrace something that like construction that feels like progress instead of constriction that feels inconvenience. So thank you guys for your continued prayers and your faithfulness towards that project. It's exciting to see it get underway, and I'm sincerely thankful for all of you that have prayed and supported it and continue to support it. So we continue this morning in our series 10-Year Challenge, and like we've done every Sunday, before we get into it, I want to take a moment and show a few pictures of some church leaders. You know, the inspiration for this series was that thing on social media that kind of went viral back around the first of the year where people were showing profile pictures of themselves from around 10 years ago and one from today. And as I watched this, the Holy Spirit just started to speak to me, and I was inspired. You know, some of the pictures that people were showing were inspirational and heartwarming, and some of them were discouraging. Some people had suffered loss or been through some difficult seasons, lost loved ones, or had some failures in their life. And I started looking at these pictures, and God just started speaking in my heart and just challenging me to just imagine and envision, who did I want to be and become as a man 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now? And the reality is that 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, you will be different. You will look different. Every area of your life will look different. And so the challenge to us through this series is, who do you want to be? Who do you want to become? Who is God calling you to be and become? 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now. So we've been having a little bit of fun before we get into the message every week and showing some pictures of some leaders from today and then showing some pictures. This is Steve and Pam Kiefer. Steve and Pam right over here. Hey, stand up, Steve and Pam, and just wave at everybody. Come on, stand up. Come on, Pam. Come on, say hi to the folks. By the look on Pam's face right there, I don't think she knew that I was doing this morning. I hope you still love me. Aren't they a handsome couple? And I think we have a few more pictures. Oh, come on. That's special. There they are with their family as it was growing. And I think we have one more of their family with a few more kids added into the mix there. Come on, isn't that a handsome family? And isn't it good to just remember through the ups and the downs the faithfulness of God? The faithfulness of God. That's, as I've looked at these pictures and as I've watched these pictures go up on the screen, I'm just taken by the faithfulness of God. There's some folks that have been through some things, but God's been faithful. And then lastly, I think we have a picture of Steve here. There he is. That's Steve when he was playing tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. At least that's how I imagine it and envision it as a boy from Texas. So come on, give it up for the Kiefers. And listen, the reality is in every area of your life, there are really only three true outcomes. That we'll be closer to God, that we'll be further from Him, or that we'll be stuck where we're at today. There's a lot of variance in between, but there's really only three true outcomes. And I've encouraged us that the invitation of God in every area of our life, your heart, your home, your hands, your marriage, your family, everything, your mind, everything that God's called you to, the opportunity, the invitation, is that we would grow closer to Him, that we would draw nearer to Him, that we would go deeper with Him, and that we would look back and we would say, wow, whether you're starting out in a difficult season or things are going pretty well for you, that you would look back and you would see, as I began to prioritize God and seek out and search out and pursue what His heart, what His will, what His ways were for my life in every one of these areas, He's been faithful to do something in my life. I'm telling you, there really are only three true outcomes. And I want to challenge you this morning to really think about your life, to really inspect your life, to really ask yourself some deep questions and allow yourself the space for the Spirit of God to speak to you. And really show you where you are today. That's been one of our foundational scriptures, Psalm 119, that says, God's word, your word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I always saw that as one concept, but it's really two concepts, that God's word shows us the reality of who we are and where we stand today. And it shows us where He desires to lead us to in our future. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that we owe it to ourselves to get real with God, and to really allow His word and to allow His presence to come and to show us the reality of who we are, where we are in our hearts, where we are in our relationships, where we are in our faith. And that when we begin to allow Him to shine His light, to shine His lamp into where we stand today, that's when we begin to become empowered to begin to take the steps forward to who He's calling and leading us to become tomorrow. Amen? And I want to take a moment this morning as I'm really challenging you to really, right there where you sit this morning, to open up your heart and be real. Ask God to show you. Where am I in those places? And through the message today, to really allow Him to begin to just speak to you and challenge you and bring vision to you. Where is He leading you to? Where is He calling you to get to? And what's required of you to do your part, to partner with Him, to begin to move forward towards those things? I want to challenge you with three things that I believe are common lies that the enemy uses to cause us to become stuck. Because I've challenged you, while there are those three outcomes, that we would be closer to God, more aware, more connected, living out His purposes in our life, or that we would become farther, that we would drift, that we would erode, that we would backslide from God, the most common thing for each of us is that we become stuck, that we get to a place where we're comfortable with our faith. We've been born again. We've received salvation. We're part of a church. We've got good Christian friends, and we get stuck. We plateau in that place. Three common lies that the enemy uses us to be stuck. And I'm reiterating some things, but I want to stir hope in people that are maybe joining us for the first time this morning for what God desires to do and can do and will do in our life when we turn to Him. Three lies that the enemy uses to cause us to be stuck. Number one, that we've blown it, that we've missed it, that we've messed up, that it's too late, that we're too far gone. And I've encouraged us over the past couple weeks that, look, listen, if the reality of where you stand today, if the snapshot, if your today image, if your today picture, if the Polaroid of your life today would capture a painful or a difficult season, I've encouraged you, you're in good company. Because all throughout the Word of God, if you would look to certain chapters and you would just read one page, or you would look at a snapshot of the lives of people that God used, you could remember Abraham as a liar. You could remember Noah as a drunkard. You could remember David as a cheater. You could remember Mary Magdalene as a sinful person. You could remember Peter as an arrogant accessory to murder. If you took a snapshot of any one of those persons' lives and you held it up, that's how you could remember them. And I'm telling you, that's what the enemy tries to do with us. Is he tries to take a snapshot of our life, a difficult or a painful moment, a difficult chapter, and he tries to cause that to be the thing that we meditate on. And he points to it through condemnation, and he says, see, God can never use you and will never use you. Because look what you did. Look who you were. Look who you are. And so I'm encouraging you this morning, if where you're sitting today, if where you're standing today, if what would be captured by your image of today is a painful or difficult moment, you need to be encouraged. You're not beyond the arm of God. You're not beyond his reach to come into your life and do something. He's done it before, all throughout the Word of God. He'll do it again through your life if you'll bring it to him. If you'll bring it to him. Listen, the good news is and always has been that the God we serve is in the business of using real people who had real problems, real shortcomings, real fears, real challenges, real adversity, but who turned to a real God, who offers real help, real forgiveness, real hope, real salvation. It makes a real difference. Listen, I'm telling you, our part is to turn those things to God. Listen, I'm challenging this morning. I feel like the Holy Spirit is just calling me to just kind of slow down, to put the brakes on and make sure that this really lands in a real profound way in your heart this morning. I'm challenging this morning to really be real, to ask, to right there where you sit this morning, ask the Lord to begin to show you, to begin to shine that lamp into your feet, where you are today in your faith, where you are today in your relationships, where you are today in your heart, where you are with some things that God has entrusted to you and called you to. Listen, if we're willing to get real with it, and we're willing to take those real things, real challenges, real shortcomings, real problems, and I really believe it, turn it over to a real God, he makes a real difference, and he'll get you on the right track. I believe it with all my heart. Listen, our part is to turn to God. When we turn to God, God can turn things around. Our part is to turn it over. God's part is to turn it around. We got to be willing to come before God. Listen, he can turn your test into a testimony, your trial into a triumph. He can turn your mess into a message. I'm encouraging this morning, if your current situation is a painful or difficult one, God has a plan. God has a vision. God has a future for your life. Listen, you might say, Pastor T, you don't know what I'm going through. These are real challenges. These are real addictions. These are real adversities that I have. These are real relational breakdowns that I have. And I encouraged you a few weeks ago out of Romans 4, and I love what this says about Abraham, the father of our faith. And look at what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't stop believing. Someone should write a song about that. He believed against all hope. He believed in hope. What your situation looks like, Abraham's situation dictated to him. It was against all hope, against all odds. But in hope, he believed. And so, this is the reason he became the father of many nations, the father of our faith. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now catch this. This part is heavy. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. God is who he said he is. He'll do what he said he'll do. It says, without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the facts. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts. Can I tell you, faith in God trumps the facts of your life. The facts of your life do not bow down to faith in God. Or the facts of your life, rather, bow down to faith in God, not the other way around. You can face the facts without being weakened in your faith. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, face the facts. And keep the faith. Come on, say it again. Face the facts and keep the faith. Where you're at today, the reality of where you're at, the facts in your financial situation, in your marriage, in your health, wherever you are today, that might be a fact. But I'm telling you, you can take it head on with God at your side. Face the facts and keep the faith. Number two, that you're too young or that you're too old to make a difference or to have a need to have a vision for your life. And young people, 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12 says, do not despise, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but rather set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. He says, don't look down. Look at me, young people. Listen to me. He says, don't let people hold you down or keep you down because of your youthfulness. And in fact, the standard of God's word is that you would even be used of God to set an example of what it looks like to live out your faith, to set an example of what it looks like to live out your purity. But how many times do we as young people, I remember what it felt like. It was just a few years ago. I'm facing the facts, and I'm keeping the faith. I remember what it felt like to be youthful and to feel like I was insignificant. How could I make a difference? How could my life really matter? Who am I to take a stand and make a difference? How can I, if I speak up, if I stand up, will it really make a difference? And I'm telling you this morning, yes, the answer is yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes. But the enemy comes and he tries to convince you that otherwise, that your life doesn't matter, that you are insignificant, that you can't make a difference. And I'm telling you that your culture, our world, our nation, come on, the United States of America needs a revolution of young people who take a stand for Jesus Christ. Don't look down on your youth. Lead the way to revival. Come alive. Step up. Step forward. Bring your youthful energy. And allow an older generation of people who have gone before you to speak into your life, to help to shape your future, to help to give you godly counsel, to help you give you wisdom, to help you avoid some of the traps and the pitfalls that we fell into ourselves. Come on, older generation, can we come along our young people and our youth and begin to just encourage them and build them up and be willing to speak into their life and be willing to partner with them and be willing to share some of the things that God's shown us along the way so that our floor becomes, or our ceiling rather, becomes their floor. So that what we've accomplished and what we've apprehended and what we've reached out and learned and apprehended about God, that we pass it on to another generation. Come on, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He intends for there to be a generational move that doesn't stop with one generation. This week, our youth is going on the youth spring retreat. And, you know, I appreciate this. There's a time we do fun things in our youth group. You know, they play games, they have fun, they eat pizza, of course. That's, you have to, youth group. That's like manna from heaven for youth group. But, we do fun things in our youth group. But I appreciate that our youth is taking a spring break retreat this week. And they're going to pray and to fast. Come on, that's a good thing. They're going to have fun. I'm sure there'll be some stuff that'll go down there, but they're going to seek the Lord, and they're going to consecrate themselves to know and serve God. And so they're going to pray, and they're going to fast. And I was, Nathan Hammer was kind enough to show me some pictures of some of the current leaders, adult leaders in our church, and even Pastor Micah, who's now the youth pastor of our church, when they were going on their youth spring break retreat many years ago. We've got some of those pictures right there. You guys recognize those people? This is Nathan Hammer in the red hat. That's Pastor Micah Barclay right there. That's their youth spring retreat. When would that have been, Pastor Micah, approximately? 2006, 2005, 2006, just a little over 10 years ago. Listen, youth, you're going on this youth spring retreat. When Pastor Micah and Nathan were sitting in that group right there on their youth spring retreat, I don't know that they had any idea that they would one time be serving the church full time in the capacity that they are. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And I'm telling you, you don't have to go through some of the things that the culture of this world tells you that you have to go through as young people. Right now, right here, right now, you can begin to set yourself apart to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You can begin to dig into God's word and discover what He says about how to do things, what He says about life, what he says about finances, what he says about your calling and your purpose, what he says about your sexuality, and begin to live and pursue that out and avoid some of the pitfalls that this world says you have to go through. So I think we have a couple more pictures of Pastor Micah and Nathan. There they are in the church van on their way to a youth trip. And then I think we have one more. That's Nathan on the left. That's Pastor Micah on the right there. Nathan Hammer right there. I did not know Nathan invented the duck face. The Kardashians stole it from you, Nathan. And I don't know what's up with Pastor Micah right there. I just think that's what a youth high schooler looks like after a 3 liter of Mountain Dew, I think is what that is right there. But hey, can we pray for our youth? There's a group of 53 going on our youth trip. Come on, church, right there, let's pray for them. And I want to ask you to pray for them all throughout the first half of the week. Is there a way? They've made time and they've made a decision and they've invested their time and their resources to get away with God and to set themselves apart. Lord, we thank you for the next generation. Their time is now. That's what your word says. Don't look down upon your youth, but set an example in faith and in conduct and in purity. Their time is now, Lord. And so we embrace them. And we thank you, Lord, that you would use this time to speak mightily into their lives. Lord, as they get away, as they go away, Lord, I pray that you would show them yourself, reveal your heart to them, remind them or reveal to them, Lord, who they are in you, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that they are set apart for a purpose, Lord, that you've saved them, Lord, not just to get them to heaven, but you've saved them, Lord, to establish them in your purposes, God. And that at an early age, that they would begin to answer the call and that they would begin to live for you, Lord, with all their mind, heart, soul, and strength. Thank you for Pastor Micah and Adrian and for all the other leaders and chaperones who are going, Lord. We pray your provision, your protection, your direction over them, God. We just pray, Lord, that entire camp that they're going to be at, Lord, will just be covered by your ministering angels to protect them, Lord, and to provide for them. We pray that you would move mightily. We pray that you would speak clearly, God. We pray that some of the lies of the enemy that he's already beginning to speak over some of the individuals and over them as a generation, Lord, that you would break them off with your word and with your love, God, that you would begin to connect them, Lord, to the reality of who they are in you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. We pray, Lord, that they would come back, Lord, changed. We pray that they would come back filled with fervency, that their hearts would be alive in you and filled with the fire of God, that you would bring them back into this place, Lord, and that they would begin to walk this out, that they truly would be an example even to some of us, Lord, that are older in age, Lord, because of the fire that's burning in their hearts and because of the way it compels them to live differently in a culture that's perishing, Lord. We thank you that there's still hope, Lord, for their generation. We thank you there's hope, Lord, for our city. We thank you, Lord, there's hope for their campuses, Lord. We pray, Lord, for revival at Free State High School, Lord. We pray for revival at Lawrence High School, Lord. We pray for revival from Eudora to Ottawa to Topeka to Kansas City, Tonganoxie, Lord. We pray for a revival amongst our youth, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray that there would be a spark, Lord, that would happen on this youth spring retreat this week in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's precious people said, amen. Come on, amen, amen, amen. The other lie that the enemy uses is that you're too old to matter, that you've missed the boat, that you're insignificant, that you're no longer relevant. Listen, I'm telling you, we need a multi-generational move of God. We need a young people who are not set on resisting. That's a word that's common in our culture today, that there's a generation that wants to resist authority and rebel against authority. Maybe it's always been that way. But I'm telling you, young people, what if a generation would begin to, instead of resisting and rebelling, what if a generation would begin to operate in respect? What if a generation would begin to have reverence for God? Again, not rebelling and resisting, but revering and respecting. What if a generation would begin to be willing to not look for a handout or look for to be entitled, but take responsibility for the things that God's invited you to and the gifts that he's put in your life? And begin to work hard and to dream and imagine what's possible when you partner with God to fulfill the purposes of God for your life. What if a generation, instead of resisting and rebelling, made it a determination to say, I'm going to be respectful, I'm going to reverence God, and I'm going to respect my elders, I'm going to be responsible, I'm going to be reliable, I'm going to show up when I say I'm going to show up. I'm going to keep my word and keep my commitments. Come on, by the grace of God, we can't do it in our own strength. Yep. But there's a God who is looking to partner with you, to connect you to everything that he created you and has called you to. Amen? Amen. Listen, the other lie is that you're too old to matter. But we need you, young people. We need our elders in our life. We need people who have gone before us. We need people to come alongside of us when things get tough and say, let me tell you what God did in my life. Let me tell you what God did in my marriage. Let me tell you how God saved us from financial ruin when we begin to walk out things according to his word and his ways. Let us show you some things. Let us disciple you in some things. Let us give you some direction. Let us rescue you out of some things. Listen, you are never too old to matter in the kingdom of God. In fact, gray hair is a sign of glory in God's kingdom. As long as I have anything to say about it, and come on, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm getting old. I turned 40 this year. I know that's still young to a lot of you. You guys remember? I remember what it was like to be a kid, and I thought 40 was old, man. And now I'm there, and I'm like, it's not. 40 is the new 25. They say 30. I'm saying I'm going lower. You're never too old to matter. And you're never too old to not still need a fresh word from God for your life. We never graduate from living by grace. We don't graduate from living by grace. And I'm telling you, but the enemy comes and the enemy comes and tries to lie to you and say that you're no longer vital, you're no longer relevant. I'm telling you, you are. And in the heart of God, you always will be. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says it this way. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Say, all people. All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Come on, who's seeing visions? I'm committed to seeing visions for a little bit longer. I don't know about you. Here's what he's saying, though. Your young people will prophesy. He's prophesying about the time that we live in, the dispensation of grace that we live in. And he's saying, I'm going to do something where all generations will be serving and partnering together to bring glory to God and to build my church and to further my kingdom. That's the heart of God. Your old men will dream dreams. Listen, you're never too old to be relevant and vital to the house of God and to the plans of God. Don't allow the enemy to come and put you on the sidelines. Don't allow the enemy to come and lie to you. You're never too old to be vital. Listen, your old men will dream dreams. Listen, if you're still breathing, you better keep dreaming. If you're still breathing, you better keep dreaming. Come on, that's worth saying. Look to your neighbor and say, if you're still breathing, keep dreaming. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, therefore, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Come on, say it. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day by day. On the outside, you might be getting older, but on the inside, you could be getting younger. That's the promise of God. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their youth, renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles. You're never too old to be vital to God's plan. And you're never too old to not need a fresh word from God about what he desires to do in your future. God desires to grow you from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And I'm telling you, complacency is maybe the number one killer of spiritual destiny. You get complacent. You get to a place and you're comfortable in your finances. You're comfortable in your marriage. You've got you're an empty nester. You're comfortable in what God's called you to put your hands to. You get complacent. Complacency is the silent killer of spiritual destiny. Think about this for a moment, folks. You know, what is it? Is it carbon monoxide they call the silent killer, right? You know, the carbon monoxide is the gas that if it gets trapped in your vehicle or trapped in your house, it could kill you. You never smell it. You never sense it. And don't we breathe out carbon dioxide? Is that right? And it's toxic, right? I mean, it's like we breathe in oxygen, but then we breathe out carbon dioxide. And it's in a small percentage, but it's actually toxic. And just think about this. Again, complacency is the silent killer of spiritual destiny. And you need a fresh word of God. We need a fresh breath of God's spirit. When we begin to just operate on something that he breathed into your life many months or many years ago, I'm telling you, it's toxic. It's no longer nourishing. It's no longer fueling. It's no longer revitalizing. And I'm challenging you today to not just come to church. I'm challenging you today, when you come and when you get before God, breathe in a fresh breath, a new word, a fresh season, a fresh vision, a fresh dream from God for your life. You're never too old to not need a fresh word. You're never too old to no longer be vital to the plan of God and the purposes of God, to the work of God, to what he's doing. Complacency is the silent killer of spiritual destiny. Come on, can we just embrace and commit today to avoid the pitfall and the trap of complacency? Where we go, again, the risk is, there's really only three true outcomes. You're either going to be closer, you're going to be further, you're going to be stuck the same. And I'm telling you, the greatest risk is that we get stuck the same. But we don't graduate from grace. We don't graduate from the responsibility to be part of the Great Commission. And we don't graduate from the call to grow more and more into the image of Christ. I go ahead and ask the worship team to come up. It's about to shift gears, and I've got a whole nother message, basically, to preach. And I'm going to push pause, save it for next Sunday, and just give the Lord an opportunity for us to have a little bit of extended worship and ministry time this morning. Listen, the enemy operates through procrastination and presumption. And the invitation of God to us through this series is prioritization. To begin to focus on what matters to God. To begin to pursue and ask and listen. To allow the Word of God to shine the lamp upon our feet and to begin to show us the lamp unto our path. To begin to hear and receive those things and to begin in a fresh or a new way to begin to prioritize those things. Because here's what really matters is what can God bless? What can God bless? Are you there in Romans chapter 12? Isn't that where I told you to go? I didn't forget. Look what it says. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what he's done to save you, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, his perfect will. It says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. It says, offer yourself fully, completely, wholly, in light of what he's done to save you and rescue you. Begin to live for him with everything that you have. And it says, then you'll know what God's called you to do. Then you'll know the will of God. See, God's ways, if we'll focus more on God's ways will discover God's will. Yeah. A lot of times we're so worried, we're kind of wrapped up in what's God's will for my life. Come on, young people, what's God's will for my life? What do I do? Where do I go? What college? Who do I marry? If you'll focus on God's ways, serving God, all my body, everything I am, mind, heart, soul, strength, everything, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, in light of his mercy, what he did to save me and rescue me, offering everything I am to him, that's my good and reasonable worship. That's the way I live. And not conforming to the patterns, the cultures, the expectations of this world, but breaking free of those things. And beginning to be transformed because my mind begins to be set on God and who he is and what his word says. Then you'll begin to know the good, the perfect, the pleasing will of God. Who are you going to be in 10 weeks? Who are you going to be in 10 months? What's your life going to look like 10 years from now? Pathway to that vision is daily decision. Joshua said it this way, it's for me and my house. He said, if it seems right to you to serve the gods of Egypt beyond the Euphrates, you go and do that. But he said, as for me and as for my house, we will serve the Lord. Your life's going to look one way or the other. I'm telling you, 10 minutes from now, your heart's going to be changed. Depending on your response, your decision in this moment. 10 weeks from now, 10 months from now, 10 years from now. I'm telling you, the enemy operates in procrastination and presumption. Someday, I'll get right with God. Someday, we'll recommit to the local church. Someday, I'll pursue that dream or that call or that thing that I believe is part of my destiny. And can I just tell you something? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Why wait? Don't procrastinate. Procrastination is a scheme of the enemy. Someday we'll begin to prioritize our marriage and our kids and our family. Someday. I'm telling you, you're not guaranteed to have tomorrow. There's no time like the right now, like right now. There's no time like this time to begin to prioritize the things that matter to the heart of God. Because that's what matters. Thank you, Lord. Come on, I just want us all to just stand and respond. I want you to just stand because there's just something about just presenting yourself in the presence of the Lord. And now right where you stand, just for the next couple moments before we go back into worship, and then we'll close with praise. We got time to do both of those songs this morning. Just to really stand in the presence of God and just get real with Him. Just position and posture yourself with an open heart. And just still all the distractions, all the things that you're maybe already even thinking about that you got to go and get to, the errands you got to run, the lunch you're going to, whatever. And just still your heart and just ask the Lord to begin to just speak to you and reveal to you. The areas of your life where God has a plan. That's a good plan, Jeremiah 29:11 says. It's a hope. It's filled with hope. It's filled with the future. And just begin to ask the Lord, who am I going to be? When I leave this building today, when I walk out of this room, who am I going to be? What are my values? What's the vision for my life? Who am I? What do I stand for? There's power in personal decision. Again, Joshua, he said, you can do whatever you want. You really can, people of God. You can make a decision. If living this way or living that way seems right to you, God's given you a free will. You could go and do it. But he said, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. There's power in personal decision. I believe it's the moment that many of us stand in today. I believe this series is just kind of interrupting the flow of doing church as normal, and it's challenging us to really think about where we are, where we stand, where we're going, who are we going to become? Individually, in your marriage, in your family, corporately as a church. So, Lord, I thank you for just beginning to just shine your light. I thank you, Lord, for reminding people of some things that maybe you once were aware of, that God had spoken over your life, that maybe you've lost sight of because of conforming to the pattern of the world, the expectations of this world. And I thank you today, Lord, beginning to remind us, to strengthen us, God, that we would no longer procrastinate, we would no longer presume that we'll have another opportunity to make the phone call, to extend the forgiveness, to tell the family member that we love them, to answer the call of God on our life. We'll no longer procrastinate and presume. We'll begin to prioritize you, your will, your word, your ways, your call on our life. Come on, right there where you are. If you want to receive that this morning, if you want to, would you just lift your holy hands before God? Come on, when we lift our holy hands like the word says to do, it puts us in a posture where at the same time we're offering things that we don't want to take with us, and we're receiving the things that God desires to distribute to us. Fresh grace, fresh mercy, fresh hope, revitalized dreams, revitalized passion, fresh fire for God. So Lord, we just thank you for doing just that this morning in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.